Welcome back to the program. Well, you will know that yesterday the papers were full of this Supreme Court ruling from the day before, which dismissed an appeal by a mother of two children against the High Court's refusal. And this was to order a Dublin clinic to release three frozen embryos to her against the wishes of her estranged husband. The story basically was that this couple were married, they had separated. However, frozen sperm of the husband had been held in a Dublin clinic, and the mother, or the wife, I should say, had gone to the courts asking for the release of that sperm in order to obviously fertilise her embryos. And I'm joined on the line to talk about the aftermath of this Supreme Court ruling by Ida Niyahuma from the organisation Youth Defence. Good morning to you, Ida. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
All right. So, a lot of people have looked very interestingly at this particular ruling, because they ruled basically in favour of the husband, who wasn't in favour of his frozen sperm, for want of a better word, to be used by the woman whom he was once married to. You're saying that, look, this isn't right.
Yeah, well, first of all, Tommy, as far as I know, what was involved in the case was actually frozen embryos rather than frozen sperm.
Okay.
And frozen eggs. So that's actually a completely different thing, because sperm is sperm. Do you know?
Okay,
what I mean?
Sorry, I thought it was actually sperm. So it was embryos.
Embryos. So these eggs have actually, they've already been fertilized.
Oh, okay.
You know, and according to science and medicine and everything else, there is three human beings sitting there in that same clinic, you know, just waiting to be implanted.
In other words, the mother, the father, and the baby is what you'd be arguing, is it?
No, I mean that there's three fertilised embryos.
All right.
There's three of them involved in the case. But the problem is that they have been fertilised. And that's what's sitting in the same clinic. It's not like sperm and egg separated.
All right,
you
okay.
Know.
Sorry for that. And thanks for clarifying.
You're grand, Tommy. Just want to clarify for the
okay,
listeners.
So what are Youth Defence saying?
Well, basically, we're saying that what the Supreme Court did was a very erroneous decision. And the government now needs to step in, and they need to act on this. They need to restore full protection to human beings from the moment of conception. And what was wrong with the Supreme Court decision was it was based on a High Court decision in 2006. And the problem with that was Justice McGovern based the core element of his decision on very unfounded assumptions. What he said was that when the people voted in 1983, that they did not wish to protect the child from conception. And nobody really knows where he got this assumption from. Nobody can claim to know that they know the minds or intentions of the people when they go to a polling booth, you know. And this isn't just my opinion. I mean, this is something that was ruled on in the 1996 Hanafin case, when the judges decreed that nobody can know the minds and intentions of the voters. They know what they voted, but they can never assume to know any kind of reasons or logic behind that. So Justice McGovern based this huge important decision on something that he actually didn't know. And then to make matters worse, when it was brought on to the Supreme Court, the Attorney General, on behalf of the Irish people and as instructed in collaboration with the government, actually went in and argued the same thing. He claimed that these people in 1983 did not want to grant full protection to human life at all stages. And when people voted in 1983, there was no mention of, you know, implantation or timelines or anything like that. It was a clear-cut question. It was, do you want to protect unborn life, yes or no? And they voted yes. So it is not for me, nor Justice McGovern, nor the Supreme Court, nor anybody else, to try to assume that, you know, they only wanted to protect it from one stage. The only way that they could know that is that they explicitly went and asked the people, well, do you want to know this? And one of a very relevant thing is that so that question was actually put to the people in the referendum in 2002, you probably remember, Tommy. And the wording of that referendum actually said implantation as opposed to conception. And that referendum was defeated because of that wording. I mean, everybody knows that there's a pro-life majority in Ireland. If that wording had said conception, I believe it would have been a landslide, yes. Mm. But because it said implantation, a huge amount of pro-life people voted no, because it's not good enough, you know. Human beings and their lives are not something that we can compromise on, and that we can say, okay, well, we'll protect from here, but not from here. You know, I mean, if you start making some kind of compromises at any stage of life, you've really lost any kind of argument that you ever had, because it's either life or it's not.
Yeah, but as the law of the land stands, Ida, here in Ireland, is the situation is that protection of the of a human is from within the womb and not outside the womb. Isn't that it?
Well, I mean, that's what the Supreme Court decided and what the High Court decided. But as I was saying, Tommy, the reasoning for it was based on an assumption, which really they didn't have the power to make. You know, they didn't have they didn't have the right or the power to assume that they knew what the people wanted to do when they voted in 1983. So I mean, it's kind of in limbo at the moment.
Yeah, but it won't be for much longer if you're to believe Mary Harney. I mean, she's making the point this week that this will certainly kickstart. And I know it's 4 or 5 years late, because I think it's almost 4 years since the government initially said they were going to put forward some kind of proposals for legislation in this area. Yeah. She has promised something by the middle of next year.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of Mary Harney's, any of the government bodies that were set up by Mary Harney and the government. I don't know if you've seen any of their reports. For example, the CAHR issued a report recently on legislation in this area and regulation in this area. And Tommy, I think people really need to understand the extent of this report. Its recommendations would make us one of the most liberal countries in the entire world in this whole area of embryonic research and cloning and IVF and all that kind of thing. And the report went so far as to recommend that we should be allowed to create human embryos specifically for the purpose of destroying them. I mean, it goes so much further than most other countries in the world. And people really need to understand the kind of mindset that Mary Harney has, you know, the kind of thing that she's actually aiming for. But another thing about these bodies is the CAHR report, sorry, that's the Commission on Assisted Human Reproduction. There was also another body on bioethics. They actually asked the people for submissions. And both of them got a huge majority of pro-life submissions which said that they wanted full protection for human life from conception. They didn't want any kind of experimentation, research, destruction of embryos. And they just chose to ignore us. You know, the government just consistently ignores the wishes of the people time and time again. And not only are they ignoring the wishes of the people, they're actually ignoring, you know, the scientific world. Science is moving away from embryonic research because it doesn't work. You know, they've been working on it for years and years and years, and all they're still getting is tumour formations and, you know, just like, I mean, Dolly the sheep died, whatever. But it's not working, whereas adult stem cell research is it's been used now in over 73 different cases, 73 different kinds of diseases and ailments. So they're ignoring the people, they're ignoring science, they're ignoring medicine, and they're just pushing it. Mary Harney is just ramming this forward. I mean, I assume she has her own agenda for it, you know.
But do you accept that, you know, this is such a sensitive subject and that it's a very personal view that people have?
Which now, but the whole area of life and conception,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the people can have their personal views well and good, but science and medicine both state that life starts in conception, you know? And it's not like having an opinion on, you know, what's the best car out there, because that's not important. But this is, you're actually messing with people's lives.
By the way,
when it comes to arguing about something like this,
yeah,
you know?
Those three frozen embryos, I assume, will remain in that clinic in Dublin.
Yeah, well, for now, they're basically sitting in the freezer. Yeah.
But I suppose on foot of the Supreme Court ruling the other day, Ida, I mean, the father in this particular case might argue now, well, hold on a second, I want those embryos destroyed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is what he's arguing, basically. He's saying that he doesn't want his children carried to term because he doesn't want to be a father again.
Sure, but his argument...
He wants to get them destroyed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can only assume that is what will happen, particularly if Mary Harney is allowed to push on with her agenda, you know?
Sure.
And I think the government really needs to act now. It needs to act on the wishes of the people who have spoken on several occasions on this, you know? And the wishes of the people are that they respect life from conception. And the government needs to regulate this area. They need to legislate in it. They need to grant that full protection to human embryos from conception.
I presume anything they do, though, might involve a referendum.
Well, it could. It probably would. You know, the problem is that they'd have to kind of work out how to do that correctly, because I mean, the 2002 referendum, which Fianna Fáil and the government supported, was defeated just because of that one word, because of implantation.
Yes.
You know, so they, if they had changed that to conception, we'd be fine. There wouldn't be any kind of legal limbo.
All right. I can imagine any debate in the run up to such a referendum would be very divisive.
Well, my recollections from the 2002 referendum were that, you know, there was a bit of divisiveness.
Yeah.
It was all right,
yeah.
You know.
A few people want to have a quick comment on this. I don't know, can you hold on for a second, Ida,
yeah,
on this?
Sure.
Eileen, good morning to you.
Hi, Tommy. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your view of this ruling?
Well, I think the ruling is terrible, and it's a great threat to human life at the moment. We were just talking about this at home last night. I was just pulled over, and I was driving into work when I heard the conversation. The thing is, you see, the Commission on Human Assisted Human Reproduction that has been set up, that was set up in the year 2000. Now, your guest there spoke on the 2002 referendum. Now, I voted yes. I voted for protection of life from implantation in the 2002 referendum. And I have to say, when I actually looked at the thing and realised, because, you know, I was horrified, because the combination of that referendum that was put before the people and the fact that this Commission on Assisted Human Reproduction had been set up in the background to regulate the whole IVF, the whole infertility treatment situation in Ireland, you know, was very... And at the same time, there was a situation in Europe where there was massive funding for embryo research. Now, all of this was not so much in the public domain, so people didn't know, and many people, myself and voters, you know, we voted to protect human life. We voted to protect the unborn child. However, you know, there does seem to have been something in the background that would have facilitated embryo research if had this referendum gone through. And funding, Micheál Martin, I know, and Mary Harney, and both were petitioned when they were in Europe, they allowed funding to go to countries where embryo research is legal on the basis of subsidiarity. I mean, Micheál Martin himself, when taken to task for this, I mean, Irish taxpayers' money is going to this, to the actual taking of life in other countries. But he said, you know, if it's legal in these countries, then, you know, we allow funding to go there. So, I mean, it would have been actually legal in this country had the 2002 referendum gone through, I think, because the embryo would not have had any protection. Now, with regard to those recommendations, they have never been acted on, and they did go before the Commission on Health and Children. I think it was a couple of years ago, 2004, 2005, and they have not been legislated on. And now I know for a fact that here in Mayo, because we have a pro-life group and a strong pro-life ethos in County Mayo, that there were a number of petitions signed by people. I think there could be a couple of thousand in all, and politicians were lobbied on this, particularly I think Beverly Cooper Flynn at the time, because she was on the Committee for Health and Children. She and Michael Ring were actually supported in the last referendum because, or the last election, because of their position on this, because they said that yes, they would not allow this to happen. So I would ask them to stand by that now and to come out and say no, that we cannot legislate to have human life destroyed or experimented on.
Okay.
Because, the recommendations, there are 40 recommendations in all. The Catholic bishops in this country have come out and they have said no to this, because it is, I mean, it's horrific. You're talking about the creation of embryos to for research purposes. I mean, it's eugenics. It is. We decried all of this when it was discovered that this happened in, say, Nazi Germany. This is the same type of thing being legalized now.
Yeah, sure. But in the case of the Supreme Court, Eileen, the other day, I mean, the embryos we were talking about here, three of them, weren't for research purposes, were they?
No, they weren't for research purposes, but they are in limbo now. They are, and those three little human, tiny human lives can be used for research if this is legislated on, and they are not afforded any protection. I mean, they're there for experimentation.
Right.
Nobody, you know, how do you protect them? You can't. So, I mean, we have to stop this. I mean, this is horrific. And, I mean, people all over the world are fighting these laws and this sort of agenda all the time, because really there's big money in it, Tommy. You know, there is, it's research, it's We saw what happened in University College Cork, you know, where sort of something was just slipped through that we could use embryos that had been actually killed in another area for research purposes here. I mean, there was a huge outcry over that. I don't know if that has ever been sort of furthered since that was taken. But that was a, you know, people aren't aware of this, and I think the pro-life ethos in Ireland would, people would stand up against this if they knew, and I think what exactly is being proposed, and I think it's up to people to bring it out into the public domain to show what is being proposed.
All right, Eileen, well said. Thank you very much indeed for that. You know, Ida, last word to you. Well, two things. First of all, the Supreme Court is the highest court in the land, so there's no recourse for appeal on this. There isn't?
No, well, unless they decided to go outside the country. But just one interesting thing, Tommy, I'll tell you just about their ruling, was that the judges actually said that it was human life. They acknowledged that. But what they said was that, in their opinion, our laws didn't protect it. You know, so they've already acknowledged that this is a human life there.
And they've also acknowledged that the government have to move and do something.
Yeah, because I mean it is limbo. There's IVF clinics around the country, and they're just running with absolutely no regulation whatsoever. You know, and what Eileen was saying there about the embryos being experimented on, that a lot of embryos that are used for experimentation are surplus embryos from IVF, like in this case where the husband did not want to, you know, actually bring the embryos into pregnancy.
Yeah.
So that could very realistically happen to these three embryos in question, that they would be used for experimentation.
It strikes me, judging by the texts that are coming in from people, that there is a strong belief that maybe the Supreme Court ruling was incorrect. But it also strikes me, it's a bit like the Lisbon Treaty the first time out. People are not grasping a lot of it, and they don't really understand. It is quite a technical area.
It is technical. Do you mean the whole life conception area?
Yeah, and the different articles, 43.3 of the Constitution and all of that, you know, that even though the English in it isn't particularly hard to understand, I suppose people are sometimes caught in the dilemma of, is it from the womb to the tomb, or is it outside the womb to the tomb?
Yeah, I know. That's unfortunately what the judges actually, you know, decided in the end, that it wasn't from the womb, that it only, that it was only from the womb, you know, that it didn't apply to anyone outside the womb.
Okay, well, with no doubt there will be lots of occasions in 2010, Ida, when we'll be speaking to you, defence and yourself, about this issue. For now, though, thank you and have a good Christmas.
Thanks, Tommy. Happy Christmas.
Bye-bye. And thanks to Eileen as well, and a Merry Christmas to her. That was Ida Ní Yahuna joining us there from Youth Defence in relation to that Supreme Court ruling on Tuesday.